Welcome and thanks for listening to Open Door Baptist Church's Sunday morning messages.
Illustrates these kinds of things. That's the perfect song for the message this morning. And so praise the Lord for that. I want to say a couple things very quickly by way of announcement, I guess. First, I want to once again say thank you to the church. I mentioned this Wednesday for your great kindness to us, myself, my wife, and our family, just in various ways all throughout the year. But there are some times where the church gives specially, and one of those times is around our anniversary, and we don't take that for granted, and you did so once again, got a very nice card with lots of nice notes, little notes on the inside. I really enjoy those notes, and so I hope that you'll not just give money. Thank you for doing that, but I like those notes too. And I usually keep those cards around somewhere close for quite a while, sometimes longer than my wife wants me to keep it around. She probably thinks I border on hoarder somewhat in some ways, because I'll say, this, honey, this has sentimental value. And those notes have sentimental value. And so thank you so much for your care on our behalf. We were able to celebrate 13 years of marriage here recently, and we're grateful to God for what he's doing in our lives. I want to mention our Core Christianity Fall program that's coming up. It'll be starting September the 17th, Sunday, September the 17th. It's going to go for 7 weeks, and I'm getting more and more excited about it. I really believe God's going to do some wonderful things, as he always does, but I think maybe some special things as we talk about Open Door Baptist Church's core values. Now, we didn't take, and I'm not trying to, I don't want to accuse others of doing this, but our core values are not the typical core values. For instance, I'll go through our Sundays for you, and each of these Sundays is one of our core values except for the first. The first Sunday is Founder Sunday. And all of this is based on the sunshine, let the sun shine in, and we got a lot of theme sort of built up around that. Well, the sun's got a core, and that's its foundation, and then there are rays that go out from it, and these six areas are the rays or the core values of our church. The second Sunday, first Sunday is going to be Founder Sunday. The second Sunday is Freedom Sunday. Third, Fighting Sunday. How you like that for a core value for a church? We're a fighting church. Well, come and we'll tell you more about what that is all about. Faith Sunday. Sunday number four. Number five, Fishing Sunday. Any fishermen in the house? All right, too ashamed to say so. Okay. Fishing Sunday. Number six, sixth Sunday, fifth core value, Family Sunday, and then finally, and we're going to do our best not to just get completely carnal with Lockhart, but Football Sunday. How's that for a core value of a church? Well, it's representative, and we'll tell you much more about it. If you're wondering about these things, then I want you to plan to come all 7 weeks, beginning September the 17th, ending October the 29th. I'll give you just a couple of things. We've got some different things that we're doing this year, and we're going to give you some more as we go along the way. But the prizes this year are going to be in the form of gift cards, and first place prize is going to be $500, which can be used for, we've got to alliterate because we're preachers, right? So, gas, groceries, guns, games, and grays. I'm halfway hoping somebody will get this $500 gift card and say, I want two Dallas Cowboys tickets. On a non, hey, whoa, 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 watch it now. We're in a sacred place. Okay, careful. Obviously not on a Sunday, but maybe like on a Thursday night or something like that. And what you can do is you can grant one of those to me, and then you can sit with your pastor to watch America's team. I'm just throwing out some ideas in case you're wanting to know about these gift cards. So $500 gift card, second place is going to be $325. And then the third place is going to be $175. And got a lot of other things that are planned, a lot of fun ways to be able to win. We're not calling them points this year, we're calling them raise. And so there are different ways to be able to earn raise this year. And I'm just really excited. Got a lot of great things planned. Excited about our missions conference that's coming right in the middle, right smack dab in the middle of our fall program. Brother Ben Angel and his family are already stateside, and looking forward to being able to see them as well. And God will give us a great time. All right, let's go in our Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 15. The book of Luke, chapter number 15. Luke chapter 15. We're going to read for our text verses this morning, verses 1 through 7. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. The Bible says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." This is a familiar passage of Scripture, but it is one that the last couple of years the Lord continues to bring my heart and my mind back to, specifically thinking about our church. And so I want to do my best this morning, God helping us, to preach a message entitled very simply, The 1%. The 1%. Now this is a theme that I've sort of started beating the drum about, both somewhat publicly and also privately quite a bit as we have conversations. And I want to continue to beat that drum this morning. And we see it right here in Scripture. And so may the Lord help us this morning. Brother, I saw your light back there, but my pack is showing to be on. Are you hearing me from my mic? You're not? Well, I don't know what to tell you. I may have to dump it because it's green. And it looks like it's supposed to look based on what I can see. Test. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, thank you again for your goodness. Thank you for the word. Thank you that we can have it in our language, preserved by you. Help us to be able to see what it says this morning, understand it in context, and be able to make application as well. And I pray that our church will truly be blessed to be in a position of further closeness to our God for what we've read and what we've heard. We love you today. Again, if there's somebody here lost, please, Lord, help them. Help them not to leave with that need being unmet. In Jesus' name, amen. For some, it has become a pejorative term, a term that highlights the haves versus the have-nots, specifically the ultra-wealthy in our country. They are at the center of an ongoing conversation that goes something like this. It is wholly unfair and unjust that, relatively speaking, a few individuals would hoard all that wealth while the average Americans struggle for daily necessities. We should adjust our laws, causing the rich to pay, here it is, the buzz term, their fair share. It is an interesting and oftentimes intense conversation. By the way, it's not a simple conversation, okay? I will say that. This is a very interesting political topic, if you will, to think about. How much should the government be involved, and how much should we have laws involved in sort of keeping things fair to where... And I don't think that God ever intended for a small group of people to have all the power. And oftentimes money does equal power. But it is more complex than I think many would try to talk about when they think about this thing. There exists yet another 1%. That does not garner the hype of the aforementioned, and that is the percentage of Americans who serve in our armed forces. These folks are elite in their own honorable right, and we owe a debt of gratitude to those willing to sacrifice life, limb, and even livelihood. How many of you remember? I think his name is Pat Tillman. A few years ago, left. I think he was playing for the Arizona Cardinals professional football team at the time. He was not past his prime. He was still a well-regarded athlete. I think maybe he played linebacker, as I remember it. Safety. Thank you, brother. Pat Tillman decided, I think this is right after 9/11. It's hard to believe it's been that many years ago. But it was shortly after 9/11 that Pat Tillman said, I need to go fight for my country. And he did. He ended up in the Special Forces. I don't remember if it was the Army Rangers or who it was exactly, but he was in the Special Forces, Green Berets, Army Rangers, one of those groups, and he actually lost his life, gave up his livelihood, whatever was left of it, and ultimately gave up his life in battle. And so we owe a debt of gratitude to those that are willing to sacrifice in that regard. If you are serving or have served in our United States Armed Forces, would you just raise your hand this morning? Thank God for you this morning. I really mean that sincerely from my heart. Thank you for your sacrifice. The 1/100th that we speak of this morning is the one that Jesus commends. Each of the lost segments mentioned by Christ represent publicans and sinners who drew near to Him. Now that's extremely important. These publicans and sinners were represented by these segments that are mentioned in these parables that Christ gives. And these publicans and sinners, the Bible says, drew near to Him. They are described in the primary illustration as one of 100 sheep, which after becoming lost, was found by the seeking shepherd. It must be noted that the first two examples are indicated to have no real ability to be found on their own. I think that's interesting. Sheep and silver pieces do not have the ability to come to themselves and return home. They are commended in greater part for something that they have little to no power to enact. Thank God for His seeking, saving, and sanctifying grace. You know, my ears perked up as I listened to a podcast interview the latter part of this week, between a man by the name of Dr. Jordan Peterson and a journalist by the name of Helen Joyce. Helen Joyce is an Irish woman, and she's the author of a book entitled Trans, When ideology meets reality. The interview is one of the absolute best interviews I've ever heard in my entire life. It's about an hour, 41 minutes. It's got something for everybody. And it is well worth your time. But he was interviewing this journalist. By the way, I'll let you know, she is a self-described atheist. This is what's interesting to me. One of the things that was interesting about this interview. I have never heard Dr. Jordan Peterson ever give testimony to being a believer or to having been born again. Now, he has begun to read the scriptures, and he even teaches some lessons, if you want to call it that, on some of the books of scripture. He does better than a lot of pastors, so-called, in our day and age. For instance, Exodus is one of the books that he is teaching through and reading through, and it's funny to listen to two non-believers, one a so-called atheist, and the other one a non-believer based on what I can hear and say and tell. But it's interesting, at one point, it's almost as if Dr. Peterson is pressing this lady, Helen Joyce, to say, how can you not believe that there's a God based on the things that you're espousing? It's really pretty phenomenal. But I'll come back to the point. Toward the conclusion of the interview, Dr. Peterson was discussing bravery in academia, where he spent a considerable amount of time. He stated that the, quote, faith and courage, he tied them together, unquote, to say what one really believes. Now, he was talking specifically about academia. He said, you know, I've been around these things, and these undergrads, they want to write these papers and these opinions to be able to please their professor, for instance. And then the grad students, they want to be able to please the next level of leadership. And then an assistant professor who is not tenured, they're scared to death to lose their position and potential livelihood for the future. And so they say things that they think won't get them canceled, you know, from that. And he said, you go all the way down the line till a professor becomes fully tenured. And he said, it's just hard to recover when you've constantly gone through life not telling the truth, not saying what you actually believe. He stated that faith and courage to say what one really believes is, quote, relatively rare, unquote. And he went on to say that, quote, this is what really caught my attention, and you'll know why. One person in 100 possesses it. That's a quote. One person in 100 possesses it. The 1%. One in 100 is indeed relatively rare, yet the shepherd leaves. This is interesting to me. The shepherd leaves the 99 in the wilderness to go find that one. It doesn't even say that he leaves these other sheep with some sort of a keeper. Now, I would imagine that any good shepherd would. And obviously, oftentimes in Scripture and many times in Jesus' parables, he is the representative. He is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. But it's interesting that Jesus does not say that he leaves these sheep in the hands of a keeper and so on. The Bible just says he leaves them there in the wilderness and he goes searching for that one sheep that is lost. And so I want to point out three things this morning we see here in this entire chapter. And I trust that we'll glean from it this morning specifically as a church. Number one, I want you to notice the shepherd and his sheep. Now, we read these verses 1 through 7. The shepherd and his sheep. This is probably one of the more well-known parables in the scriptures that Jesus gives. And what's interesting, there are some interesting things about all these specific little parables that Jesus tells. In context, each of them referring back to the circumstances found in the first two verses. Publicans and sinners, these tax collectors that were looked at in a very dishonorable way there in Israel, taxing their own people. And then this broad and general term, sinners, sort of the lowlifes of society. But it's the publicans and sinners, and then it's the scribes and Pharisees, and they're sort of comparing one to another, and these scribes and Pharisees are looking at Jesus like, what kind of guy, what kind of special religious prophet or leader are you that you would spend your time with those types? So all these parables have this common thread of something or someone being lost and then being found. We see that in each of the parables. That exact language is used. But then there are some distinctions that are made, and I'd like to look at some of those distinctions. So concerning the shepherd and his sheep, number one, notice that the shepherd goes away. He goes away. He leaves the 99 and goes after the one. And I want to say very simply this morning, Jesus left heaven. And Jesus also sent out apostles. I want you to think about this. Look, if you would, to hold your finger there, and you may have to turn back a page. Luke chapter 14, verse number 23. I was chuckling to myself this morning. I was looking at this passage again on my phone, and it said, parable of the dinner. But then the southern boy in me started thinking about this, and I said to myself, this doesn't talk about a dinner. The Bible says it's supper. So that rang true to me this morning, and I thank God for that. If you're a Yankee this morning, God bless you, and you're in the right place. You're in the south part of the country this morning, all right? But notice Luke 14, verse number 23, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. You remember this master makes a feast and he invites folks and everybody's got all these excuses, good excuses, but not good enough for this master to be able to come to the feast. And so the master says to his servants, instead of us inviting them to come in, you go out and you go get them. Go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Jesus has done the exact same thing with not only his apostles and his disciples, but with his servants all throughout the years of time in the scriptures over and over again. Jesus calls people out and he says, go out from where you are. We can go back to Abraham, and Abraham is told, you leave your country and go to a place that I will show you to go. And if we're going to serve God, we've got to be willing to go wherever it is that God takes us. The book of Philippians, chapter number 2, one of my favorite passages, we read about our Lord Jesus Christ in verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God the Son came into our finite realm and allowed himself to be robed in finite flesh to be able to partake of the sufferings and the trials and the tests that we experience in this life. He left the glories of heaven to come where we are. And this shepherd leaves the 99 to go after one. Well, the shepherd goes away, but I want you to think about his sheep as well. This one sheep, representative of a wandering nature. The songwriter wrote it, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And are you like me as a believer, as a child of God? I was born again at the age of 6. But do you sense, do you experience, do you feel that pull, the pull of the world, the pull of the flesh, the pull of the great deceiver, Satan himself, to leave, to go away from the presence of our God? Now, nothing can separate us from His love. Once you're in Christ, there's nothing that can take us out of Christ. The Spirit put us there. He's the one that keeps us there. But we can certainly get away and apart from the presence of our Father. And this sheep here is representative of our nature as sinful human beings. We have this wandering nature. We're prone to go away from God, not go toward Him. And oh, how we need God's help on a daily basis. How we need God's help. We read in the book of Hebrews chapter number 10, that we ought to be careful to edify one another and that we ought to come together on a regular basis and so much more as we see the day approaching. Why? Because our nature is prone to wander away from God. Being around His Word and having that communion with the Lord and with His people helps to draw us close again as we ought to be. But the sheep has wandered away. So that's the shepherd and his sheep. Number 2, the woman and her silver. It's a little different account. In this case, it's not 1/100th, it's 1/10th. Notice it, Luke chapter 15, verse number 8. Either, what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? When she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Notice this woman who searches her premises. She doesn't have to go away like the shepherd did. She simply stays in the premises where God has placed her, and she's searching within the confines of those premises. This is interesting to me. For one thing that we can gather out of this is that one can be lost in the house of God. Each of these segments are lost. This piece of silver is lost in the confines of this woman's house. And did you know that just because you step foot into an assembly, and I'm talking about a real New Testament Bible assembly, to be able to meet together with other professed believers, just because you come to church does not mean that you are not lost. Just because you got on a roll somewhere of some church some years ago and said, I'm joining this local body, does not mean you are in the body of Christ. Just because you got baptized in deep water, just because you do your best to do good things and live a right kind of life and have a good testimony in the community, does not mean anything as to biblical salvation. You can be like this piece of silver and not be very far from the presence of the one that is looking and still be lost. I think that's the reason why God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and by the way, we're not the type of church that peddles in trying to get people to question their salvation. We're not here to get decisions. Decision cards so that we can go on social media somewhere and talk about how many were saved and baptized. And I'm not throwing stones at folks that do that. It's just not, I'll tell you personally, my mentality, and I hope it never is. How many were saved and baptized? Well, we'll know for sure in eternity who really got saved and who really followed the Lord in believer's baptism. You can get dunked in water 1,000 times in your life or more, but if you've not been dunked in Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God, you just got wet, friend. Doesn't mean anything for biblical salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, God says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. You don't have to prove it to the pastor. I'm tired of these legalistic pastors trying to say they're looking around and they don't see fruit and all of that. You don't have to prove it to the pastor. Prove it to yourself. That you know that there's fruit in your life that matches up with the Word of God, and you can say confidently, I know that I'm in the family of God. I don't care what the pastor says. Because we can be wrong. And oftentimes I am wrong. Examine yourselves. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. You look at us, we'll look at you. We'll hold one another accountable, but ultimately we need to examine ourselves, and we need to know that we know that we know that when we breathe our last breath in this world, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that's only for believers, folks. You can't claim that. Your pastor can't claim that on your behalf just because you want him to say something nice when your body lays cold in that casket. No, you need to know that you're going to be with the Lord. So one can be lost in the house of God. This wandering sheep is away somewhere. This lost piece of silver is right in the house. This woman searches her premises. The silver is representative of value as commodity. Value. And when this religious ruling class looked at these publicans and sinners, and I would imagine that some of these publicans may have had a good living in that day. They might have lived above the average person because of their line of work, and maybe as a result of their line of work. We think about one like Levi, and we know that he was a tax collector, and boy, he got right, got saved, and so to get saved is to get right. What did he do? He gave people money back that he knew he had treated wrongly, and he cheated them out of their money. So I don't think it was just about a low life as in a low status of income. But I think when these scribes and Pharisees looked at this class of people, publicans and sinners, they said to themselves, surely this religious leader would know there's no value there. Do you know who you're spending time with, Jesus? Surely, if you were a prophet, you would know these folks are of no value. They're castaways. Isn't it amazing how there is a ruling class, even in our day, that consider a large majority of our planet to be castaways? If we can just get rid of a large majority of our planet, surely we would have utopia and everything would be all right. It's nothing new. John chapter 6, verse number 9. One of the apostles said to Jesus concerning the little boy that had the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes with the thousands that were needing to be fed. He told Jesus the boy had this lunch, but then he said, what are they among so many? In other words, what real value are these 5 loaves and 2 fishes based on the number of people that need to be fed. And I'm sure these scribes and Pharisees were looking at these publicans and sinners and saying, what value are they to humanity? It'd just be better if they were wiped off the face of the earth. But there was intrinsic value in this piece of silver. And this woman searched her house till she found it. The shepherd and his sheep, the woman and her silver. Number three, the man and his son. The story of, we would call it the prodigal son. We won't read the entire passage for sake of time, chapter 15, verses 11 through 24 specifically. But we know that a man had two sons, and this man had an inheritance to be able to pass on to his sons. And the younger son said, Father, I'm sort of done with this life and I'm ready to move on my own. If you'll give me what I have coming to me, then I'll leave you be and I'll go do my own thing. The shepherd goes away. The woman searches the premises. This is interesting to me. This man stands by. He doesn't leave. He doesn't go after this son. God doesn't always chase us, but allows us to reap of our own choices and come to ourselves. Maybe we're expecting God to come after us. You know, we've been away from God and away from church and away from His Word. And we're thinking that God is somehow, maybe somehow miraculously going to come and come chasing after us, but God doesn't always do that. God oftentimes just allows the law of sowing and reaping to kick in our lives. And He says, you reap of your own decisions a little while, child, and when you're done reaping of your own decisions, then you can come back to where I am. So God stands by. This father stands by as his son follows after his own way. We see the son, he's representative of choice. The other two didn't really have a real definite choice, but oh, this son, he had a choice. He had a choice to leave. He had a choice then when feeding the swine and being tempted to maybe partake of their food because times were tough, there was a famine. He had a choice then to say, well, I guess I'll just dive in. Or to say, what am I doing? What a fool I've been. It's time to get to the Father. This son is representative of individual choice. And every person has individual choice. I like what God says about these publicans and sinners. The Bible says they drew near to hear Him. It's not as if Jesus was just going around and necessarily going to them, but they wanted to get close to Jesus in order to be able to hear Him. And God gives us as human beings, all of us, each of us, that choice to come to Him or to turn Him away, to reject Him, to oppose Him. So we see different elements of these segments of groups that are mentioned by Christ that all go back to these publicans and sinners versus the scribes and Pharisees. What Jesus is basically saying is, I choose them over y'all. I choose them over y'all. Consider the approximate 1% of soldiers who received victory over 135,000 Midianite soldiers. You can find that account in Judges chapter number 7. Remember Gideon? He started out with about 32,000. God says, you've got too many. They will take glory for themselves and think that they won the battle. Now, they were still outnumbered, 32,000 to 135,000. I think, you know, that would be pretty good to be able to give the Lord glory. But God said, no, we need to whittle this down some. And you remember it got whittled down to 300. I want you to think about that number this morning. 300 as compared to 32,000. Well, what percentage is that? Just one. And Israel received victory over 135,000 Midianite soldiers. You see, the 1% will be found wandering. Some will be found wandering. Some will be found in the house, right in the house of God. Every once in a while it happens. Somebody that's been in the church, may have been a member of the church for years sometimes. They come forward, maybe during an invitation time or something like that, and they say, I'm here for salvation. And you're like, what in the world? You're a member of the church. Yeah, but I'm not saved. The 1% will be found wandering. The 1% will be found in the house. The 1% will be found in the far country. But isn't it amazing what Jesus says about these other elements? The pieces of silver, the 99 sheep, the older brother that are left behind. They're in the place that they ought to be. Let me just say this to you this morning. Nobody can be found, spiritually speaking, until they become lost. And Jesus says about the 99, it's interesting to me what Jesus said. He said the 99, they were justified. They needed no repentance. In other words, in their mind, these 99 sheep, they're representative of those that believe they're good enough. Think about it now. Jesus is making this comparison between the scribes and Pharisees and the publicans and sinners. And each of the lost segments are the ones that Jesus is saying, these are the ones that exemplify these publicans and sinners. And on the other hand, the 99 that remain, the 9 pieces that are left, even the older brother, they are representative of the scribes and Pharisees. And we know that the majority of the scribes and Pharisees, they never did believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? They never got lost. And there are many, many folks in our society, God help us, if there are some maybe in our church that have never been lost before. They're so self-righteous. Well, Pastor, you don't know what home I was brought up in. We're good, moral people. We've always been around the church. I know the Bible. I can even quote it. But you've never been lost. Until we're lost, until we realize that in and of ourselves as sinners, there's nothing that we can bring to God in our own righteousness that God would receive so that reconciliation can be made. Until we come to that point, we can never be found. Our society is filled with self-righteous folks. Well, I'm not as bad as those folks over there. That's not God's standard of righteousness. God's standard of righteousness is perfection. That's the reason why Jesus had to come and fulfill all righteousness on our behalf, because we couldn't do it on our own. And I wonder this morning if you've been found. Found by the shepherd. Found by the woman. Found by the man. Have you been found by the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you responded to the shepherd that left the 99 who needed not repentance? Came seeking after your lost soul, so that you could be a part of his fold. Our goal as a church, I've said it over and over again, I'll continue to say it. What we're really looking for, now we're going to give the gospel to everybody. We're going to attempt to knock on every door. And I hope and pray that we can touch a great segment of our city and our region, our state, our country, our world. I know that we're not going to be able to do it all by ourselves, but may we give it an effort. Because we know that God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son. But I also realize this, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads to life. And although the Lord is looking for everyone to be in His family, we must respond to the seeking shepherd. And the goal for our church is that we find those 1%. Now, it's not us finding them. It's really us allowing the Lord to find them through us. He's the shepherd. He's the one that we ultimately want to bring them to. Matter of fact, some have said it this way, I won somebody to Jesus. We don't want to win them to ourselves. We want to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. But who are we looking for at one at Open Door Baptist Church? We're simply looking for the 1%. Why? Well, that's who the shepherd's looking for. And all the rest, the shepherd understands, have rejected and opposed him because they feel like they're good enough on their own. And one thing that we cannot do is we cannot create a desire in somebody. Now, I can talk some people into praying a prayer, coming down the aisle and getting in the baptistry waters, filling out a card and saying, hey, yeah, I want to be a part of this church. I can't create a desire in a heart. That takes God. God says that the Father is the one that draws a person. Then, of course, a person's got to respond to that. And I just wonder this morning, do you have a real spiritual desire? You say, what do you think is proof that maybe a person's not born again? Well, they don't have any real spiritual desire. They desire a whole lot of stuff, but when it comes to spiritual things, they just have no spiritual desire ever. That's probably pretty good proof. But those that desire the Lord, thank God, can draw near to hear Him. What a beautiful picture in my mind I have of these. The Bible says all the publicans and sinners. Must have been a good group of them that gathered around the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord didn't just give them lip service. The Bible says He ate with them. Jesus wants to have that kind of relationship with every single one of us. And you know, the goal is that they in turn minister to the 99. Don't miss this. The sheep was found, right? Shepherd brings it back, out on his shoulders. The body's rejoicing. I'd like to just personify, build this in to the account. But this sheep tells the 99, boy, heart. Life is impossible. But the shepherd came and caught me. And this is a beautiful thing to me to think about. Those 99 sheep, they didn't have the opportunity that one had to be as close to the shepherd that one. I mean, he put it right on his shoulders, and that shepherd and that one sheep spent time together. What did she sing about just a little while ago? He loves me. And as a Christian, you and I have the privilege, we have been born again into God's family, to have a one-on-one relationship. You may not understand this morning, but I want to let you know that you've been saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the 1% this morning, the real 1%. does God want for you? What is God's goal for you? What is our church for you, for us, to go out and minister to the other 99 and let them know you don't want to remain in your own self-righteousness. It can only take you ultimately to one place, and that's an eternity apart from God. You want to draw near to hear the Lord Jesus Christ, to hear His voice. Come unto me. All throughout the Scriptures, we hear that same message. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Over and over again, what is Jesus saying? Come. Whosoever will can come. Yes, even publicans and sinners. But you old scribes and Pharisees, until you get rid of that self-righteousness, you cannot come to Jesus. Amen. It's got to be His righteousness. His righteousness alone. And I'm thankful that as a six-year-old boy, I don't know what class I was in. I don't know if I was 99, part of those sheep or part of the piece of silver or the prodigal in some way. I think about the prodigal. Maybe this is one that's gotten further along in life. Goes down a bad road and figures out there's nothing out here. I don't know exactly which one I was. I'm just thankful that I drew near to hear Him and heard His voice and received of His salvation. And I am His child, and I realize I am in a very elite class this morning. And if you've been born again, you are too. Now what are we going to do with it? Why don't we go minister to somebody else? And let them know they can be a part of the 1% as well. That's what we want in our church. I don't want a bunch of self-righteous people that believe they're good enough. No, that's because that's not what God would have. God wants a bunch of folks that realize they were lost, and Jesus came and found them and gave them His righteousness. And then we can go give somebody else that same message, and they can have the righteousness of Christ as well. Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning?
Thanks again for listening to Open Door Baptist Church's Sunday morning messages. We hope you got something from this message.